Welcome to the United Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. If you could do me a quick favor, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, could you please take 10 seconds to leave us a five-star review and a comment about the speaker that you like the most? I love having speakers on here twice, so your feedback definitely lets me decide on who to invite on the show. I want to thank our good friends at Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish has been a loyal supporter since the very beginning with the podcast and the coaching clinics. Follow them on social media. They put awesome stuff out there all the time on Instagram and Twitter at Dr. Dish B-Ball on all social media. Also, coaches, check out UnitedBasketballPlus.com. It's the newest resource we have. Use the promo code UBPLUS. That's capital U, capital B, plus. Coaches, enjoy the podcast. Coaches, I want to welcome to tonight's podcast Greg White of West High School in Bentonville, Arkansas, and he's going to be talking about the route rebounding system, a better way to offensive rebound. And Coach, thanks so much for joining us. You're an excellent coach, and you know your social media presence is always engaging and helps us learn the game and grow the game. So I'm excited to hear about this. Maybe in like 140 podcasts, I've had maybe one other one on rebounding. Maybe we haven't had one at all. Honestly, it's hard for me to remember, but I don't think we've had one completely dedicated to rebounding. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I enjoy everything you put out and you grow the game, connect coaches. And one thing we've all learned is, you know, we got to work together and share the game. And that's kind of what we've been able to do. I think we all took a different approach when we had to stop what we were doing, what we would think is normal clinics. And so I'm glad you've got the continue getting the podcast going and got clinics coming back and in person and on the floor. And so it's always fun to get to talk about basketball. So jumping kind of into rebounding, what we call run your routes and a route rebounding system, kind of explain to you where it came from. You know, rebounding is obviously not new. It's one of the main skills of Tate's Lot is a big influence on me. And Tate says there's only three skills. It's rebounding, shooting, and passing. You know, and everybody wants to debate, what about dribbling? What about but he's done it a lot longer than I have, so I don't argue with him. And so rebounding, you know, became something that we wanted to talk about. It's easy to teach, and I'll get into that, just kind of explaining what you can do and some notes to take on that. And I think the biggest thing is always the why, for us, what the why was. And when we started, a little background about where we're at, we're in Bentonville, Arkansas. If you shop at Walmart, we appreciate it. Live better. There's my sponsorship from them. But we're in the home office of Walmart, and Benton County is one of the fastest growing counties in the country. We average 32 new people a day moving in because of Walmart's presence. And that all kind of changed. Just like everyone's life changed, but we're starting to see the influx again. But we're a 6A school, which is the largest classification in Arkansas. We opened in the largest classification with no seniors. And that was 6 years ago. We just finished our sixth season. We were conference runner-up, Elite Eight in the state, and 19 wins. But going into it, like, every job, every time we talk about this job is a bad job because you're going to play against the best, the biggest. And we're the smallest. And so we were able to kind of start going through some things. How are we going to close the gap? How are we going to be able to win? And we kind of went through that and kind of took the money ball approach. You know, think different, change how you think, and kind of start going through that. People have heard me talk before, know my influences. I love baseball. The money ball is probably one of my favorite movies. I have a list. You know, that stuff, thinking in bets. If you've ever heard me talk before, Annie Duke's book, saved my career. I got that, you know, from Mike Neighbors, and Coach Neighbors is a close friend, but a mentor, and kind of taught me how to rethink when I took this job. So why routes? Well, I'm in Arkansas, which is in the South. If you need a geography lesson, we're north of Missouri, south of Missouri, north of Louisiana, right. We are to the right of Oklahoma and the left of Tennessee, right there in the middle. Not really the Midwest, far and not really the deep South, but we're in this Southeast Conference. So football's a religion. And so we start talking about what ways to clean up our language and clean up how we explain to kids about rebounding. So the first thing when you think about rebounding, you think about how we were all coached. Most of the time you lined up in a two lines on the free throw line. One guy turn around, face the other guy. Coach throws up a brick and it's an all out fight to get it. And that's how we were taught to rebound. You know, check whether you teach hit and spin, hit, wipe, look over your shoulder. There's so many different ways to teach rebounding. What we all realized was everybody's an All-American rebounder and a rebound drill because that's all you're doing. And so we started looking at how are we not, why are we a bad rebounding team? We're great in rebound drills. You know, we're really good in 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4. So we stopped doing rebounding drills and we became all, everything we did. If we were in a 4-on-4 situation, a closeout drill, we assigned a coach to watch rebounding. And that's how we became, you know, focusing on our rebounding. When we started all that, we talked about how are we going to get extra shots? And going in with the book, Thinking in Bets, you're never going to be the same as the team you're playing. And we knew that coming when we took this job, and I'll refer to our job a lot because it's why we had to think the way we thought. But you take your own ideas and you've got to learn to calibrate things, and you take your beliefs, and it's everything, every game, every decision in basketball is a bet. Whether you're a gambler or not, it's a calculated, the shot goes up. There's certain things that can happen. There's all. And so everything you're doing is you're placing a wager on the outcome, whether you're a get back two guy, get back three guy. And so all this became discussions for us on rebounding, because we weren't the biggest team and we wanted to find ways to stay in the game as our skill level and as our talent increased with our new capacity of students and also with our skill development. And so we started looking at our offense, and I'm lucky enough. Coach Showalter has put me in a great situation a lot of times. And one of the guys that I can pick the phone up and call is Fran Fraschilla. And I've started talking to him about our offense. And he was really the first guy to make me think. Friend said, how do you offensive rebound on your set plays on your offense? And my first thought was like, well, why would I worry about that? I'm trying to score. And he made sure to remind me that in every situation on offense, you need to think about getting the offensive rebound. No one's ever went and shot I know players have not missed shots, but I can't think of a team that's ever went perfect from the floor. And so we started playing to fail. We started playing to miss. We're going to shoot a lot. We're going to miss a lot. How do we create more chances for us? How do we get more possessions? And so we started talking about running routes. You know, in a football game, the receiver and the quarterback know exactly where he's going. If he's going to run an out and up, if he's running a go. And so we started talking about how can we take our terminology and make it make sense to our players, but also save time. Because that was another thing for us, is we were trying to close the gap like with our competition as fast as possible. The last school that was our size that opened went 2 years without one win. We were not going to settle for that. We were not going to be in that situation. You know, I know people talk about, you know, you got to be patient. You got to trust the process. All the catchphrases we've all heard. Well, and you know, we found a quote that was Rome wasn't built in a day, but they laid bricks every single day. We wanted to lay as many bricks as possible, and we wanted to get as quick as to our goal, which was at the time was making the state tournament, which we did in year one, and we've made it every year. But it became something we had to think about, like how can we be different? And so we came up with, we got to create more shots. Well, when you hear that, a lot of people, you hear tempo. Maybe you're a pressing team. You're going to play fast. You're going to play, you know, running a really up-tempo fast where you can come down, shoot. But what you don't realize when you say that is the other coach still has a say in it. I can play as fast as I want to play. I can try to speed you up. My opponent is in control of what he's doing. Now, I can try to dictate it and force things, but if he's prepared through scouting, his team's going to control his pace too. And so now it becomes who can control more, who can battle. And, you know, we've been told our whole life, you know, as coaches, you're playing chess, but it's not chess. If it was chess, both teams would have five players that look identical. Mm-hmm. They all have the same skill and they can all do the same thing. That's what a chess game is. Now it becomes, Is Greg better than Matt? Is Greg a better player than Matt? It doesn't take in – basketball doesn't come into a chess game. Chess doesn't come in and say, oh, well, this team's got four kings and a queen because they've got – and you've got five pawns. Beat them. Mm-hmm. You're playing poker. You're playing a game of poker. Sometimes you have a euro, you'll come in, you got a full house. Some years you got a pair of twos at best, but you still got to play the hand. And we learn to take our hand and find ways to create opportunity, which was our route rebounding. The whys behind it are real easy. When you can't outrun them, and when you can't outjump and you can't outmuscle, you can outrun. So we took a time, and I did it because I didn't want to put on our staff. I charted every single shot for one season. Every miss, where the ball went. Just took a spreadsheet, watched film, put a dot. Shot came from the right corner. Where all did it miss? And I put a dot on that. And we used percentages. And then we looked from we did all five spots for the threes because we shoot a bunch of threes because we didn't have a lot of inside presence. We knew exactly the percentage of if Matt shoots from the right 45, the rebounds are going to these spots. And that became our routes. Well, then we took our offense and we said, we were at this time a four out, one in. We've adapted to a five out. We can do it with a three out, but we know if we shoot from this spot, we want players getting to these positions. And so we learned. We explained our players. We had a really smart class. My oldest son was a senior when we began this. Took some sales, a lot of selling points because, you know, they'd all grown up the same way we did. Well, rebounding, offensive rebounding is just more want to. Every guy on the team, that's my favorite thing is like, well, he just wants it more. Well, can you measure that just because he got it? Because sometimes you got to take into effect just dumb luck. The ball bounced right to him. And so we explained to him what we were doing. The tag rebounding system was a foundation for us. And so those were our four big whys. Number one was if you can't out muscle them and out jump them, you can outrun them to the ball. The second one is nowhere to be, you know, back to the future. Think ahead where you're wanting to be at. The third was this should eliminate transition because we use the tag up. And being the tag situation, we wanted to tag as much as we could. And if you're familiar with tag rebounding is when each offensive player goes to the inside shoulder of their defender and holds them in front of them. So every long rebound you should get, but a player's not allowed to run past you, which now limits run outs and slows down transition. And so we were able to do that. And so, we tried to explain this should eliminate some transition. My favorite thing about it is it's easy to spot who's not doing it because you're going back watching film and you know what your offensive rebound situation was and you look at each possession, you're able to tell this player didn't go. It's just like I know coaches that chart transition defense by the first two strides, head down like a sprinter. Well, this, I'm able to watch you and show what they're going. You know, getting back to the timing, what I loved about it was I'm not spending time in rebound drills. You know, I'm not spending the time doing something that as soon as we move on to something else, they stop doing because they quit winning the drill. So that was kind of our why. If you got any questions, I can answer those. And then I can also jump into kind of what it looks like with our offense and give you some notes.
Yeah, I was going to just ask you, and you're going to, I know you'll probably hit this. So you went from spending, you know, these other – you left all your old school rebounding drills essentially.
Yep.
So did you have – again, I used the word drills for this, or was it just something you talked about and emphasized in everything you did?
United Basketball Plus is your doorway to all things basketball. If you desire to go further, faster as a coach and leader, if you want to maximize your team's potential, or if you simply just want to be a student of basketball – United Basketball Plus is the resource to take you to the next level in your basketball journey. As a member, you will have access to some of the greatest minds in basketball today. The in-depth videos provided by these coaches and basketball experts will help make difficult concepts simple to understand and teach. With your membership, you will have access to video playbooks, sports psychology, fast model playbooks, skill development, speed agility, and various other United Basketball Clinic videos. Your annual membership also includes access to our 2021 United Basketball Clinics, as well as discounts to attend future basketball clinics. The best way to find out all we have to offer is to visit us at unitedbasketballplus.com.
It became an emphasis on our half-court offense and our transition defense. The quote that Coach Logan Bailey came up with, he was my assistant for 2 years. He's now the head coach at Cabot High School, largest high school in the state. It's the last steps you take on offense, but your first steps you take on defense. And it's why it was chartable. We teach where we want them to go, how they should get there, what it looks like on the way. And we tried to simplify, like kind of if you take the 10-word approach from West Wing, where your offensive possession ends and defensive possession begins. That's what we're talking about on our route rebounding system. And it kind of cleaned that up when you explain to them that, no, you know, we're trying to stay on offense, which everybody loves, but we're going to start our defense this way. And so it, you know, the times I've talked with other coaches about it, it's hard to sell because we were all trained the same way. You know, you rebound because you're taught to rebound. Offensive rebound, you just whip it. You know, you pick a shoulder and you attack it. But, you know, for smaller teams, it was what we loved doing. It put us in a spot to compete. In our classification, our first 2 years, we were the only team without a 6'10 or bigger. And you still got to play those games. You still got to play your hand. And so it was great for us there. Coaches are, as the phrase analytics has grown on us, well, now this isn't, you can measure this. You know, I think one of the most abused statistics in basketball is rebounds per game. I don't care how many defensive rebounds you get, because that means I missed a lot. I want to know how many offensive rebounds you're getting, because I know I got to focus on defense and block this guy out. These are measurable, whether they get a rebound or not, because you can measure effort and assignment. How many times as coaches do we have a player doing everything we ask and they still fail? Hey, I want you to turn and make a great block out. I want you to, and then you're okay. Well, my guy blocking out is 5'6", the guy is blocking out 6'8". Well, if the ball bounces directly to them, he's not getting it. And so I can measure their effort. I can measure their assignment. Did they do what I asked them to do? And it's a hedge bet. A hedge bet is when you plan to fail, you know, it going back to your offense. What are you doing to ensure that you have a plan B on your offense? Mm-hmm. You know, we all run it unless it's a last second play, you know, and even last second now, guys are starting to go a little bit earlier to give themselves a chance for an offensive rebound. Well, how are you going to offensive rebound? Are you just going to tell him, go get it? That's when you get your over the back foul, because he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what to do. So we train for hedge bets. It's adaptable and scoutable, which is what coaches love to be in control of. It can fit every offense. It can fit every player. And it's what we love. Again, I mentioned Coach Neighbors, one of my best buddies. You know, he's different. This is a different approach to offensive rebounding. And that's why we enjoy it. And it's easy to cover. So some of the points, you know, we talked about was the bets. You get to plan where you're going to be at. You know where your offense is. We all go through. We're putting in a set play or continuity or even your live motion. You know where your players are. You know where your spacing is. And so you're able to plan where everything's going to be. Real simple answer for route, be where the ball is going to be. You know, we've all seen Tom Brady throw a perfect back shoulder in the corner. Well, they, you know, the receiver's running and now suddenly turns, there it is. Be where the ball's going to be. You know where it's going. Mm-hmm. You can find out where missed shots are going if you spend time and think about where it's, you know, how it's going to end up there. And you're playing ahead. You know, we talk about how are we giving our guys a chance. It makes you faster when you know what's coming. You know, Matt, when you're talking on defense, you know, if I'm calling the screen out, well, I'm able to prepare for the screen coming and I'm locked into it and I understand. And so this gives you a chance to play in the future while you're on offense, which is, you know, is one of the kids love it because it's so much fun for them. So you can measure effort. Hustle points, you know, you can cover so many things. Resulting is a big thing you pick up from Andy Duke. If me and Matt line up to rebound, I'm 6'4", okay, I've got a pretty good chance. I mean, I've got a long wingspan. If they throw the ball straight up, even if you do a great job and bump into me and block me out, get into my hips, all whatever code, I'm still have a better, if I'm taller than you, I still have a better chance of getting it. You're relying on, is the referee going to call a foul? Is he going to call an off the back? Is he going to call a push? Well, that doesn't mean that the guy, your player, didn't do exactly what you asked them to do. And so many times as coaches in the past, that's not good enough. Well, he did everything he can, coach. You know, and like, I was lucky enough to have an older coach talk to me and say that, like, what more do you want? What more do you want from him? You know, and we all get caught up. Well, I want to win. Well, there's sometimes you're just not going to win. Your pair of twos is not going to be the pair of aces.
Yeah.
But you can play your twos as best as you can. And so that was one of the things we were able to do. There's a picture floating around. Becky Hammond is 5'5". She's blocking out the tallest player in the world. I can't remember the lady's name. She's 6'11". Mike would tell me he would know it when he saw the picture. Does everything right. But button chest, blocked out. The ball bounces to him. She has no chance. You know, she's now the coach at the Aces. She's going to do everything right. She's not going to get that rebound. And so you got to take into consideration there's time to just dumb luck takes over. You can stat it, which, you know, if you're an analytic guy and you want to show, you can show the hustle plays and stats. And you know, and you can account for luck. That's one thing stats do not do. Stats don't count for luck. Let's say I take a half-court shot and it bounces, hits the backboard, rolls around the rim, and goes in. All it says is make. It doesn't say, God, that's the luckiest shot I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It says made field goal. On rebounds, it doesn't say I'm 6'4", and the guy on my assignment was 5'3", and the ball bounced to me, right to my hands, hit me in the nose, busted my nose, but I caught it after it hit me in the face. I got that rebound. And so this is a way for us that when I stat it, I can count effort, and I can take in the results of luck. So I'll talk to you about what we chart. Kind of one of the things that started for us, though, on the offense first, I want to cover that. We have three simple rules on our offense. We try to pull rim defenders because that's the closest guy that's a rebounder. And he's also the rim protector on a drive. So everything we do, we try to move. Number one rule, Matt, you're on our team. You move in. You're going to be our starting forward. We're in a four out. We run our transition. You sprint to the corner. You don't get the ball. Ball's opposite wing. You're now the wall's on the 45 opposite you. You're in the corner. Your job is to get your guy away from the rim. And you're able to cut. You can cut high to the hot top of the key. You can lift and set a screen. Your job is to make sure he can't stay at the rim and protect the basket. We use that as a rule of why I put it, because we try to shoot. Arkansas has a shot clock, thankfully. We try to shoot early. We don't want that guy to just do his job, run there, be right, ball bounce right to him, never go. You know, we miss shot, he's there with minimal work. So we try to pull rim defender for two reasons. So he can't be a rebounder, so he can't be a rim protector. Second thing on offense we do is we shoot shots, we practice. And I know you're like, well, everybody does that. We do that for the simple fact that we want our guys to know where to run routes. So we have our spots, we look for shots in our offense. Everything we do is a you go, I go. Two-man game. I set a screen. You slip. You go to the basket. I go to the 45. If you go to the 45, I go to the basket. So we're constantly moving and taking those shots in our motion. But because it's, again, we want to know where to run our route to. We want to know where to be at. And the last thing, our offense is strictly route rebounding. All five guys must be engaged. Your shooter, your routes, tags. And there's some freedom to this. That we'll talk about later if you want to, about what the players, why I think they really like it. But I want to talk to you about what we chart, because it's something I think all coaches can look at in the offseason and preseason. So first thing we chart is effort. We're not putting gold stars. Guys get to see it. They get to see this early. If there's no players listening, they don't need to know this. I only chart about six games and stop, because after that I can just lie to them and say, oh, yeah, I got that done. But I do the first six to see how important it's got to be and to show them how important it is.
Yeah.
And there's some of these too, that some of the scores, like one chart, one game, one of my biggest players had a zero. The ball never came toward him. It was just one of those nights where it was like he was, the ball was just allergic to him. And so he got a zero effort. And Coach, hey, I was playing hard. You sure were, but the ball never came to you. So you didn't really have to play as hard. Now, you were doing what I asked you to do and run your route, but your effort wasn't, you know, it wasn't a negative thing. And so you got to explain to them what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is, did they attempt to do their assignment? That's my favorite thing about it, Matt, is I can ask a player, hey, come in here, Matt, let's watch this film. See this shot right here went out from the corner and you were the other 45. What'd you do? Well, film doesn't lie. And, you know, and we'll talk about the player free in a second, but we can see, you know, did you do what I asked you to do there? What would I ask you to do when you're 45 with a shot from the corner? I ask you to take two steps in. If he cuts you off, we pride ourselves in not getting over the back and on whatever, you know, referee Bob and the crowd screaming on, you know, get him off his back. Well, it's not on his back. He's over, you know. Right. And so, you know, we pride ourselves on not getting that foul. We pride ourselves on that becomes an option and no, we're not going to waste a foul there. And so we ask you, did you do what we asked you to do? No, Coach, I didn't. Okay, well, that's why your score's here. We take into consideration luck. Did I do what I was supposed to do? And the guy shot an air ball and the ball bounces, hit me in the face, goes out of bounds, or the ball, you know, and so we're able to chart and positive and negative. Sometimes you're just lucky. You know, I didn't run my route this time, but the guy missed it so bad it bounced right to me, you know, and that's one of the things we are able to look at.
Let me ask you something quickly. You know, before you did this, you were doing what a lot of us have done over the years, or how we were taught. How easily and quickly did your players pick up on this new style of system, this new philosophy?
Coaches, I want to talk to you for just a second about why you should seriously consider getting a Dr. Dish. First of all, their payment plan system is unreal. 12 months, no interest. I paid half up front, and then I paid the other half over the next 365 days, and I have a brand new Dr. Dish CT. On top of that, it's just the best shooting machine out there. The CT is so user-friendly, as are all their shooting machines. So reach out to Dr. Dish. Tell them you heard about them on the United Basketball and Leadership Podcast and receive a discount. You won't regret it. Your players will get better. They'll get shots up, more reps up, and you'll become a better basketball team. Reach out to Dr. Dish. Follow them on all social media at Dr. Dish B-Ball. Now back to our guest.
Once I was able to convince our staff that I thought I was onto something with this, and we first went to the tag. Because with tagging up, you know, you stop transition, and we weren't as athletic as we are now. So we were trying to stop that. Once we realized by tagging up, we were getting long rebounds. I started charting where the shots were going. And then I wanted to make sure guys were there. It took me two practices to convince my two assistants. It took me 30 minutes in practice to convince our players.
Nice.
And here was the fun thing, Matt, was we did it in live play. Okay, we're going 5-on-5. We're working on our motion. And we play so much because the kids sign up to play. Kids don't sign up to hear Coach White tell old war stories. Kids don't sign up to hear Coach White motivate them. They sign up to play basketball. So we play, and then I try to sneak in some old war stories and motivation while we're playing. But the first day I remember Tucker Sabota. He's playing Division II football, started for us, good-looking kid, tough kid. Hey, we're going to go 5 out. We're going to work on our lasso. Tuck, when the ball's passed here, it's, oh, one thing. Here's what I want you to do at the end of the possession. I said, wherever the shot happens, I need everybody to take two steps in. They kind of look around each other, and they're like, that's it? I'm like, yeah, but if you don't, if they make it, we're still getting the others a turnover. Come down, we're going 5-on-5, staying there at half court. Ball goes, we take a shot, 4 of the 5 go, well, that's not good enough. Flip it over. Well, now it becomes, you know, it becomes the habit. You know, one of our foundations comes from Snow Valley Cutthroat, thank the passer. So now we added this as a rule is, hey, if the shot goes in, you point, thank the passer, but everybody's got to go in two steps. Well, then once we got the buy-in there, then we were able to say, okay, the shot comes from here. Here's what everybody's got to do. And I'll tell you that we have assigned roles for some players. Most of the assignments come from the spot. One player, two players in particular have assignments. And we can go through that, but it went in so easy. And that's what we liked about it was we were able to work on something without working on it. You know what I mean? Like going back to that, when you focus, if you're doing 4-on-4 shell and your focus that day is I want to make sure that everybody is, you know, guns up, however you want to call it, guns up, pointing at you, pointing at seeing them both. Everybody looks great doing that. But the minute you start playing live, the focus goes back to I'm playing live. And so we try to teach in a live setting. What's great is it has so many subliminal lessons when we're talking about rebounding. So we're sitting around as we got where the second day after that day, we got them just to take their two steps in. And we would tag before, so we were kind of used to it. But then it became a buildup. Okay, here's what we're going to do now. Matt, you're the point guard. Every shot, unless you're the shooter, you have to end up at the nail. 60% of all misses go to the nail. So we assign our point guard to go to the nail. Because who, if most of us, you get the ball, if I ask you, Matt, do you want the ball in the hands of your five, your four, or your point guard, you're going to tell me your point guard, unless it's inside the at the basket. And so we put our point guard going to where the ball goes the most. So we started assigning those. Well, then it becomes, hey, who's a better, you know, hey, Matt's our leading scorer. Matt, pretty good shooter. Yeah, he is. Okay. So he didn't miss a lot. But when he does miss, where does it go? And you know, and Dennis Rodman being the greatest of all time rebounder would tell people, I knew when Scotty shot, if he missed, it was going here. Mm-hmm. I knew if Mike missed, it was going here. If Steve Kerr missed, it was going here. So we started making them think like, where's his miss going? Well, it kind of puts a little pressure because if we line, we would have guys just, we'd take a couple minutes in a water break, say, Matt, you're shooting. Keep pitching the ball. We'd throw you the ball, you'd shoot. If you made it, great. If you missed, where did miss go? Okay, Matt, where's your favorite spot to shoot? 45, coach. Okay, shoot from the 45. If he misses, where's it going? He misses again. Where's it going? And so we started learning where our shooters were. Mm-hmm. And so our guys started kind of taking that approach. Like, man, I know that when he shoots the ball, he's going to miss long or short. I know what his habits are. And so we talked about that. The fun thing is, you know, you're able to identify that shouldn't take a long time because offense is an equal opportunity. You know, everybody talks about motion. Everybody gets to do it. Oh, they better not. I mean, so we always tell them, like, who takes the majority of our shots? For us, this past year, it would have been Riley and Tucker. If you don't know who shoots, you need to rethink your offense because if you're giving everybody the same number of shots, you're in trouble. You know, I mean, we want to call me. We'll schedule. Like, I want to know what's happening on that. So going back to, you know, why we do this too, when you scout, you know, we find the sucker. We know who doesn't block out, and we attack that guy. A lot of times, the least physical player, unless they're a post, on a block out is their leading scorer, the guard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, all of us, I think my point guard made a comment. He said, Coach, I wish you treated me like a quarterback. And I was like, I do treat you like a quarterback. He goes, no, you don't. He goes, because I watch NFL quarterbacks throw five interceptions and never get subbed out. And he goes, I've turned over twice, and you've got me coming, you know. So that's one of the ways, too. They got a guy that can't really, you know, you don't know how to stop him. Well, make your guy, make who he's guarding be the greatest offensive rebounder. Make him look bad. And so we attack that and make it who we're going to go for. One thing we talk about, too, is we scout our officials. We know, hey, this guy calls a ton of fouls on the baseline, so we're probably not going to run that route. These guys will let you play, and, you know, before you file a police report for a foul, we're going to go in there and smash into people. So we scout so many different things that's one of the things we did. So going back to, you know, how different it is for us to think like this, you know, people talk about all the time, you know, doing the same thing over different results. And expecting a different result, that's insanity. Albert Einstein gets credit for that. It wasn't Albert Einstein. It was Rita Mae Brown. Einstein never said that. You can Google that later. Einstein never made that comment. But we were told that for so long that we just believe it. Well, it's like, man, you talked about earlier, how do you teach rebounding? You got to bang into each other. Got to get tough. Got to want it. There's different ways to teach. Mm-hmm. And it's a new, you know, it's a new approach to a skill that you got to have. What this is our biggest thing is it doesn't take practice time. I love when we get new coaches in the area and we talk and we start sharing. A young coach, old coach, and I was like, tell me what you're doing here. You know, what are you working on? Oh, we spent 10 minutes working on this. And I was like, okay, how does that fit what you do on a game basis? And he'll kind of look at me and I'm like, if it doesn't relate to the game, it's a drill. You've got drill All-Americans. You know, we don't get the option of you take your team on my on one half, I have my half. We run a 5-on-0 play, and if we execute, we get a point. And you do it. If you execute, you get a point. You know, it's I'm going to try to stop you from doing what you want to do. You try to stop me from doing what I want to do. So shouldn't we spend all of our time in practicing on what, you know, preparing for that other than standing in lines and banging into each other? And so it eliminates, you know, we teach rebounding. That's one of the things somebody asked me, like, well, you don't even teach them. No, we teach the concept on defense of you've got to make contact. You got to find the ball. But going back to, you know, this, there's so many lessons off this. We became a really good defensive rebounding team because we're hitting moving targets. Mm-hmm. If you got to go find a guy on a run, you're going to be a good block out. If the only time you block out is you stare at him, coach, you know, the coach is missing the shot and you're going to hit him. You're not when it matters, you know, it doesn't matter to you. And so the thing, my players, our players, the thing our players love about the most, it creates more opportunity without more work. They're already going in transition. We're going to create more opportunity on offense without having to work harder. And that was the thing that a player told me. He said, coach, I'm not even trying. I'm getting the ball. And I said, CP, what do you mean you're not trying? He goes, coach, I just go exactly where you tell me to go. And if the ball's there when I'm there, I'm going to get it. And if the ball's not there, I'm already running back the other way where I should be. You're creating opportunity without causing more work for your players.
That's good.
You know, we talk about being a better offensive rebounding team. If you want to be one, be a better shooting team. Spend time shooting the ball. And people tell me, like, well, I don't get that. Well, we spend so much time shooting, we know where our shots are going. We expect, you know, that it's going in. And so, you know, we try to train our guys. It's not the celebration trot. It's the go tell, you know, the tuck in, the tag, the route to be there. It's the one more, you know, be close enough that you're all there where they're having to see, you know, that it's coming in. And so we focus that as we want to be that really, really good shooting team. We want to be the best shooting team in the state. We pride ourselves on, if you can't shoot, you probably won't make our roster. We have a 6'11", we have 6'11" sophomore that shoots threes. He's 290 pounds. He's going to play Division I football. He can knock down top key three just like our guards can. We pride ourselves on that because we also want to create opportunities for rebounds. You know, and we go there. But the funniest thing, I can't remember who told me this. I wish it was mine. The best way to improve transition defense, make them take it out of the net.
Very true.
Yeah, so we spend time shooting the ball and wanting to be a maker. And so going for that, you know, one of the things that was hard for us, we were very blessed this year, 6'11", 6'8", 6'5". We had a lot of length. Our five is not going to lead us in rebounding because he knows it's his responsibility to keep their five from getting rebounds and on both ends. And when you hear on both ends, it kind of makes you think about what's he doing. Well, obviously he's got to block him out on a defensive end. On the offensive end, our five or our lowest man is going to move in a way that pulls him away where he just couldn't stand there. You know, you think about a post player, he's on the block, shot goes up. He's going to spin, try to get somewhere. They're able to make contact. Well, we take a step away and then attack because we're going to force you to all right, show me what you do on your drill. Well, coach shoots it and he runs into me and I hit him. Well, what happens when I don't run into you on step one? You freeze.
Mm-hmm.
You look to see what I'm going to go. You also kind of forget the ball's in the air and that ball's going to hit the rim and go somewhere in the same amount of time. So we're going to make your five think. You have to have guards that want to rebound. They have to want to rebound. And one of our rules on offense is if you get – and not just – we've adopted this. One, I'm going to sidestep for a second as a coach. Stop saying I steal things from coaches. If you had players stealing things, you'd kick them off your team. Say you adopt and adapt. don't say I stole this from him. What I did was I adopted this from, I saw Mike Neighbors doing this. So I said, well, I'm going to adopt this for what he does. I'm going to adapt it to my kids. If we get a rebound, it's going to be a kick out three, unless our chest is facing the rim with no one in front of us. And so you have to have wings that understand, hey, the more you rebound, the more you get to shoot. And so they go there. The weak side has to commit. They've got to just buy in. That's another thing. It's scoutable on film. And then we're trying to create another shot opportunity or slow their transition. That's all we're trying to do. What's the purpose of this? I want one more shot if I miss, or I don't want them to get an easy shot going the other way. So we talk responsibilities, what we call them. For some reason, Matt, the word coaches are some of the worst. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We cliche too many words instead of just saying what they are. You know, when we hear role player, mom and dad in the crowd get mad. Well, he's my son, just a role player. Well, everybody's a role player. Like, it's not a negative term. Right. So we change. And so instead of telling you
play people your hear role player here, people hear role player and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to do everything, but I'm never going to shoot it. Like, I'm a rebounder, charge taker, diving. Like, just a little segue. Like, I think that's how they see it.
Yeah. Like, you're exactly right. and this is what I always tell them. Like, well, my son, you know, he's just kind of a role player. 80% of the NBA are role players.
Right.
You know, when a young player and his parents come in and tell me, well, you only be a complete player. Well, I can only think of about five guys I can remember, past and present, that are complete players. Yeah. I can tell you a lot of guys that get to shoot, defend. So we changed. You know, instead of this is your role, this is your responsibility. You know, and so our five, our biggest player, or because this year we ran a five out. Sometimes it was a guard down there. The closest to the rim has got to get inside and opposite of the shot. So if the ball is shot from the right corner, we want him to get to the left block and try to be inside of his man. Ball shot from the left 45 or from the wing, he's got to get opposite and inside on the right side. Inside and opposite. Two words. Hey, Matt, did you get inside and opposite? No, coach, you didn't. Okay. And so that's the five there. 45s, goes or no goes. When you're going in, this is a go or no go exercise. Top Gun. You know, it's you have to decide on this. We changed our terminology some, because tag is what we had on the tag. So we have a crash or tag. On the 45s, unless you're the shooter, you have to go or no go. No goes are decided if I take two steps hard on a sprint and they square up and block me out, meaning they make contact and he's able to pivot and put his back in my chest. That becomes a no-go. We're not going to get a dumb foul. Now you're a tagger, and your job is to, with your shoulder and your hip, to move him to a situation to where now your chest is facing the sideline. His chest is the basket, so where he's not going to be able to run. If he doesn't get it, whichever way he spins away to run on transition, you're able to bump him one more time and slow his run. That's the 45s have got to pin those guys in. The corners, if they don't shoot it, say the ball is shot from the 45, you know if it was from this 45, he's going to miss long, or if he misses short, it's coming through. They are two steps in from the corner, and then they're through the elbows. And so now when you start thinking transition defense, I have four guys now in the middle of the floor. And most of us, and, you know, teams talk about, you know, get them on one side, keep them on one side. Coach, what if they push down the sideline? Great. I've got the middle covered and I'm going to be able to guard because I have four guys in the middle of the floor. And so we go through the elbow and back, meaning on our transition back. Point guard, we talked about earlier, he's got to get around the nail if he doesn't shoot. Because 60% of the misses go there. And so we want to be there on that. It creates extra possessions, and it makes sure that our two guys that when you think transition, this was the biggest thing for us. My son, both my sons played for me. I'm 6'4". Their mother is 5'3". We'll talk about scouting as coaches, you know, a bit later. But both my kids are 6 foot. Well, you think about how we were always taught: who's your get back guy? Point guard. Who can you afford to lose less in a game? Your point guard. But with this situation, my five or my biggest player, sometimes a long guard, is down by the rim. My point guard is at the nail. My three wings, who this past year were 6'8", 6'5", 6'4", are now in a three-man running back toward past my point guard. I'm able to dress the basketball full court, my point guard, if I want to. If I want to press or trap, my five can deny the ball out of bounds. But if the ball ricochets one of those luck plays, I rarely find myself in a two-on-one or a three-on-one with my point guard back. It's usually longer, taller players.
Yeah, I like that. It's good.
And so that has given us a chance to address the ball early with our point guard on point guard, because, again, one of the things I adopted from Coach Neighbors, make teams wrong for being right. When I scout and I'm getting ready to play Matt, okay, Matt's team does a great job transition. Matt always has his point guard popping out to the wing to get the first pass. Well, my point guard is going to be standing at the nail if he didn't get the ball, waiting on that pass. And now I'm able to address your point guard. And now my matchup is already set. Now there's no scramble in defense. Most of us tell our wings run fast and wide, correct? Well, my three wings are down the middle of the floor, waiting, you know, a step ahead of your guys because we've tagged and you're behind us. And now I'm going to be able to match up and push wide. Who's usually the trail? The inbounder is usually a bigger player. Well, now guess what? My five went inside and opposite. He's at the basket. And if it goes in, he's able to be there with him. If not, he's now stride for stride. And that becomes where we can measure effort. So that was one of the things we really like. We talked about the shoot, you know, make the shot. We had a guy a couple of years ago was the greatest offensive rebounder. We were like, because he's such a bad shooter. He knew when he let go of it, like, go come back here. And he would chase it down before everybody. And that was kind of some of our belief about this. So we tell him, shoot it, stick the landing, unless if you know you missed, you better know where it's going. Shoot. And that's, again, one of our core beliefs. We want to shoot the ball more than anybody else. So if you miss, you know, we want to know left, right, you know, I could shoot. And that's once I land, my first two steps are that direction. So kind of going there, like I can send Matt, I'll give you clips if someone emails you and wants to get them. Like, we can show examples what it looks like from all the stuff we chart. I'll get you a link that we have video of it for YouTube. But you know, we can show inside and out what it looks like, where they're supposed to be at, how they get to the place they're supposed to go. You know, being in the right place, you know, everybody's like, oh, that guy's got a nose for the ball. I don't even have a nose for the ball. He's went to the right place.
Y'all worked on it and he knew where it was going. You know what we can do right here, Greg? I can edit this out. We can kind of wrap up the podcast portion and you can go on and share some video.
Okay.
So I'll have that. I'm just going to segue and we'll just, is that okay with you?
Yeah. And what I can do too is I have all this on a YouTube channel. I can just give you the link.
Yeah.
If you want to do that.
That's fine. Well, I'll edit this part out. So let me just kind of segue to bring us back together.
Segue back in.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the player freedom.
Yeah.
And what that is the trust of the go, no go. So kind of, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, Coach, thanks for sharing all that. Can you dive in just a little more about the go, no go portion? Like, what type of flexibility does a player have? Is it strict rules or guidelines there? So hit that for another second, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's, Matt, one of the things that caught the biggest buy-in for us with our players was it's a trust. I don't think there's not a lot of things in basketball that are, you know, we talk that are always a constant because you have different officials. There's just so many different variables that change. And so we talk about the freedom You know, the go, no go comes down to, I have to trust that he sees, he's looking at something maybe different than I am. Now, so let's say Matt's in my 45 because you're my best shooter and I'm watching film and you never go in. I mean, you're going to have a conversation. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you never ran a route. What was it? Well, it's amazing when you have your players trust and they know you're giving them some freedom. Coach, I was afraid to get the foul. Coach, I went in the first time, he chucked me in the chest. I didn't want to get hit again. I mean, like, they'll tell you why they're not going. But you think about the situations in games, late in the clock, ball shot, and all five guys crash, like, because the game's on the line. We started seeing that more and more. We've had games with 26 offensive rebounds. We've had games where we were averaging about 11 offensive rebounds a game. Well, offensive rebounds are demoralizing.
Yep.
I mean, especially with the shot clock getting with a reset, you know, and mm-hmm. and so we started using that as it's got to be a freedom and a trust. I'm going to give you the freedom. I mean, you think about, we went back and we kind of analyzed it like this. And the shell drill, me and you are going to get to the nail and the help and the rim every time in that drill. Do that drill for 30 minutes and all of a sudden I may be a step slow. Mm-hmm. Now, but let me play live. I mean, I may get 1 foot over there. And so it becomes, fatigue becomes a factor. Who you're playing becomes a factor. Officials, with this system here, I can play guys in foul trouble. Because I can offense defense sub, you know, I can obviously hide you in a zone. Mm-hmm. And I can, one day, me and you'll sit down and kind of tie in how this all fits into what we do offensively, defensively, why it was the marriage of what we needed. Because we switch everything 1 through 5. I'm able to keep you out of foul trouble. I don't put you in bad situations here because it's a go. Because every spot except for the point guard and the five are decisions. And you think about when I used to do, like the rest of us, when I had a get back guy, I tried all of it. I had a get back, I had a half back, I had a quarterback. You know, I would sometimes, you know, I fought one guy, I can't remember who I saw, one quarter, I didn't rebound anybody because the statistics told me that, at that point in the game, I probably wasn't going to get it anyway. So right. I'd sprint all five back. One first quarter, I'd send one back, second quarter, two guys, third quarter, three, fifth, fourth quarter, all four, you know, four or five back. Then I was like, I've got to get my transition defense set. Well, then I went into the tag rebounding. I'm going to tag you and I'm going to run with you. We're going to try to increase the pace where you think you have an advantage. It just kind of falls into with everything you're buying from your players, and our guys really buy into this. The guy gets a rebound.
Yeah. And you set them up. I mean, it wasn't that you just came in and you said, here's what we're going to do. You had the stats that said, hey guys, I watched it, all 900 misses from last year. And here's where they miss. And this is where John misses too. And this is where Mark misses too. And Carl, you're a baseline shooter. So like you walked in with data, which helped the buy-in and clips as opposed to, okay, guys, we're just going to try something new.
Exactly. And, you know, and we kind of showed them when the shot was taken, here's where we did off small numbers just to make it, where they could tell. But it's one of those things, like you said, like numbers don't lie, but they don't tell the whole truth. I think that was the biggest thing for me with analytics was they don't tell the whole truth. They don't tell me luck. They don't tell me the calls, the fit that, you know, hey, man, Matt, you only got 3 rebounds. How come? Well, maybe I forgot the fact that you picked up 2 fouls in the first quarter off really bad calls and you were a little timid. You know, but again, that's when I start thinking about, well, I don't really care what your total number of rebounds are. I need to know what your offense rebounds are. I got to know if I got to block this guy out.
Yep. No, that's good. Thanks for breaking that down a little more for us.
Yeah. I think, too, what I like about it is we've toyed with more assignments. When you got a guy that is a really good athlete that can just out-muscle his guy, we have him. So our point guard get to the nail, the low, our five was inside and opposite, and he was just a go-getter. His mentality, we told him dunk every rebound. Well, what we started seeing was he was strong enough to get by his guy. Well, now you've adapted. Now they got to put a second guy on him, or they got to make a different change. And it opened up for more people to get it. You know, there's a story. John Wooden brought in a player and just bashed him about, you know, he wasn't getting enough rebounds. Well, because Bill Walton was getting every rebound.
Right.
Like, I mean, like you've got to know who you have and what you're dealing with. So
yeah, and I think that's where some coaches, and I've been the worst of this sometimes, is where we, like, my team is really small right now. I mean, we're a really small team. And we're going to get out-rebounded a lot. But that's okay as long as it's relatively close, or maybe we'll win some. But, you know, when I've got 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", which should be all three of my guards, you're mm-hmm. right. When we play a certain team, 6'4", 6'5", 6'8", it's not about wanting it more or lack of hustle. It's about God-given that. Now, we should get in position when we can get it. But, like, if it just goes straight up to them, it's not about wanting it more, which you talked about earlier. Now, I think with high school kids, that's very rare. They really want to compete. But they really, really want to compete.
Correct.
Night in and night out. I think they all want it badly. So this is kind of where you kind of are more, I guess there's more grace in this system, I'm trying to say. You know?
It really gave us a chance to do something different, to not be the old ball coach screaming about you just getting whipped. It gave us a chance to find a way to close the gap and give our guys something they could believe in and create. The biggest thing for us was when you got guards like you talked about your size. My son was a 6 foot guard in one game, had 7 offensive rebounds. Not because he's a freak, because he was in the right place, right time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're, you know, your coach sees that the next day, that this guy had how many rebounds against us?
Right.
And what, you know, that's one of the things too. Again, you know, it makes you wrong. It makes them wrong for being right, because their point guard is taught to get to the ball. Shot goes up, get somewhere you can get a quick outlet. He's not thinking about rebounding. He's not thinking about blocking out.
Right.
You know, and there's so many things we can go
and,
all about that.
And like, one thing I'm thinking about, because I know we got to wrap it up, is it freed up about probably 10 to 15 minutes of practice time for you to do other things.
Shoot the basketball. Right. So you don't have to rebound as much. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, if a coach said, if all of us said, what are we doing at practice that really doesn't make us better? Does it transfer to the game? And we spend 10 minutes on it. Well, that's 50 minutes a week, 60 minutes a week to start. That's a whole hour you could put towards, you know, whatever your skill set. That's just 10 more minutes of skill development, shooting, for example. You know, I'm like you. Well, there was I'm going to try to have this guy on the podcast sometime. He was a British rowing. Anyway, his whole mantra was, does it make the boat go faster? And that's all I've been thinking about for like the last 10 days. Like, do the drills I do all the stuff I do. Does it help us, whatever our boat is, be more competitive, be more like a lot of us are doing things that doesn't help us get to from point A to point B. It's just a good drill that my coach did and his coach did. And we're just going to like, just keep it going because it feels good and we're comfortable with it.
Well, COVID changed all of us. Whether you had to change your practice to less time, less players, groups. This was one of the things we felt we were ahead of the curve, because we had already started saving time by making it a live teaching situation. And what you said is right. Like, it's easy to see. Like, I don't have to stand there and watch a rebound line go through, a JV kid getting just blown up by a varsity player, and you're going to do it till you block him out. Well, no, you're not. That's a DNA problem.
Right.
You know, like I was the skinny kid at that time getting shoved down, and that, you know, and I was like, when I'm a coach, I don't want to put kids through that, you know, but I thought that's what you had to do it. And, you know, you're able to teach so much different ways now that we started finding a way to save time, but still be productive and get what we want. And I'm telling you, the stat sheets, when you come in and you've gotten 26 offensive rebounds, you win those games every time.
Oh, 100%.
And you're just like, and again, it wasn't that we were just bigger and stronger, and we were just smarter and faster, because we knew where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, Coach, mention briefly how people can connect with you. Mention your email, social media, whatever is the best way if they've got questions or they want to get a copy of the PowerPoint. And again, a coach is also going to be speaking at the Hoosier Gym Clinic in Indiana, and there's a good chance we haven't nailed down, but you might cover this topic in more detail, how it correlates into, you know, what you do. So again, the Hoosier Gym Clinic, I'm giving an early plug for it now. Listeners, it'll be last weekend of August, and Coach White is committed to speak to that. But go ahead and share your info, please.
Yeah, so Twitter, it's at GregWhite32. My email is gwhite32@att.net. You can reach out to me either way. If you want a video of this, we can get you that. I have a PowerPoint presentation on it. I can show, share video. If you want to come to practice, Arkansas is one of the great states that allows us to have our guys year-round. We'll be back on the floor like a mini camp in May, getting ready for team camps in June. If you come down this way in the spring, I'm really excited about being at the Hoosier Clinic. We may talk, if we go offense, talk a little bit of offense, we'll tie in route rebounding. If we talk transition defense, we'll tie in route rebounding. We will definitely get all that covered, whatever Matt decides we need there. But yeah, you're more than welcome to reach out, come see us. And keep sharing the game with each other. That's the fun thing about this. So appreciate you, Matt, having me on.
Absolutely, Coach. Thanks again. And again, I look forward to seeing you in person in August.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.